I didn't want to run out of material, so I bought a pack of stuff. You never want to run short. No. Over the past almost 50 years, as I read the Daily Bread, I took out special ones that spoke to me or I thought were of great interest. Anyhow, I had this pack, so what am I going to talk about a little bit tonight is a few things that I took out of the Daily Bread. And so, we want to get our thoughts thinking about heaven. And I got a few Daily Breads here, and we're going to read them and kind of get the point of each one. You know, when we think of heaven, let me ask you a question. Are you going there? Who will be there? What is it like? You know, we talk about heaven and kind of, you know. Are you sure you're going there? You know? So, let us think a little bit tonight about heaven. Now, the first one that we're going to think about is being absolutely sure. Now, in order to get to heaven, we have to be saved by God's grace and be born again. But you know, the devil comes along and he likes to put a few doubts in our mind once in a while. And that's what he did with the Queen of England some time back. And I'm going to read this to you, and if you'll bear with me. Absolutely sure is the thought. Are you absolutely sure? And the Queen of England, Queen Victoria once heard a sermon that greatly impressed her. Later she asked her chaplain, "Is it possible to be absolutely sure in this life of eternal safety?" He replied, "I know of no way that one could be absolutely sure." This incident was later published in the court news, and it came to the attention of a minister of the gospel by the name of John Townsend. After much thought and prayer, he sent the following letter to the Queen. "To Her Gracious Majesty, our beloved Queen Victoria, one of your most humble subjects, with trembling hands but love-filled heart. And because I know that we can be absolutely sure, even now, of our eternal life in the home Jesus went to prepare, I would ask you, most gracious Majesty, to read the following passages of Scripture: John 3:16, Romans 10:9-10. These passages prove there is full assurance of salvation by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ for those who believe and accept His finished work." Several days later, Townsend received a note. "Your letter of recent date received, and in reply would state that I have carefully and prayerfully read the portions of Scripture referred to. I believe in the finished work of Christ for me and trust by God's grace to meet you in the home for which He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Signed, Victoria Guelph." You too can be absolutely sure. Isn't it wonderful? You know, John 3:16 tells that whosoever believes will have eternal life. Not just life, but eternal life. We'll have, in John's epistle, he talks about the life that now is and the life that is which is to come. And we can be absolutely sure. And you know, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ makes us safe. And the Word makes us sure. And in these days, we need to be sure of where we're going. And if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to trust Him right now. So, the great woman, a queen, asked if she could be absolutely sure. And this dear brother took up the responsibility and wrote her a letter and gave her the scriptures for which she knew that she could have eternal life. And people around are asking today, and we need to be ready and willing as witnesses for Him. So, heaven, absolutely sure. The next one we want to think about is, you could say, where is it? Thinking about the other side. Now, we live in this life, and then we're all going to die. It says that we're all going to die, and we know that. From the youngest to the oldest, we know. And what is on the other side? If we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we know heaven is there. Thinking about the other side. Many years ago, a doctor made a house call on a dying patient who asked, "Doctor, what will heaven be like?" The physician paused, trying to think of a helpful reply. Just then, they heard the sound of scratching on the door of the patient's bedroom. "Do you hear that?" the doctor asked. "It's my dog. I left him downstairs, but he got impatient and came up here looking for me. He doesn't know what's in this room, but he knows his master is there. I believe that that's how it is with heaven. We don't know what it's like, but we know Jesus will be there. And really, nothing else matters. The Bible gives us full faith-strengthening glimpses of what life will be like beyond closed doors of death. We know that heaven will be a place of radiant splendor, and we read that in Revelation. We know that it will be a place of reunion as we meet again those who of whom we have been parted for a little while. And in Thessalonians we read that. We know that there will be no death, no sorrow, no crying. Revelation tells us that. But above all, when we get to the other side, we will rejoice because Jesus is there and we will be with Him forever. Yes, the other side of death is heaven, if you know the Lord as your Savior. And we might not know everything about it. In Revelation, it tells us that there's streets of gold and all these things, you know. But, you know, that dog wasn't looking for anything else but his master. And, you know, if the Lord is our master and Lord, it won't make no difference what the streets are or what pearly gates there will be, but Jesus will be there. How much do I love the Lord? Yes, I love him, but how much? The other side, and in Titus 4:17, it tells us, you look up that Titus 4:17, it tells us about we'll be parted for a little while, and then we're going to meet those that have gone on before. And so, on the other side of death is heaven, and Jesus will be there. He's the one that died for us. He's the one that left heaven's splendor and came down to this earth and was willing to pay the price for you and I's redemption. Yes, the other side of life and death is just a little shadow, and we will be in heaven. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nah, it's okay. Yeah, I can get along. It's just a little. The Lord Jesus Christ, he said he went to prepare a place for us, and that he's coming back again for all those who have put their faith and trust in him. And the next thing about heaven, we want to think about waiting and watching. Waiting and watching. Blessed, we read in Luke that blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. He didn't say waiting, but he said watching. Our absent Lord has given special commendation to those who not only wait for his return, but also earnestly watch for him. Dr. Donald Barnhouse aptly illustrated the difference between these terms by telling a story of a Scottish fishing village returning home. Thank you, Dave. Scottish fishing vessel returning home after many days at sea. As they neared the shore, the sailors gazed eagerly toward the dock where a group of their loved ones had gathered. The skipper looked through his binoculars and identified some of them. "I see Billy's Mary, and there is Tom's Margaret and David's Anne." One man became concerned because his wife was not there. Later, he left the boat with a heavy heart and hurried up the hill to his cottage. As he opened the door, she ran to meet him and saying, "I've been waiting for you." He replied with a gentle rebuke, "Yes, but the other men's wives were watching for them." It is possible to wait for our Lord without exhibiting much watchfulness. Our minds may have the scriptures verses neatly arranged and tell of his appearing, and we may quote them glibly. But what a difference to difference it makes when our hearts are eagerly looking for His imminent return. The hours may seem to pass slowly, yet when reviewed from heaven's perspective, where 1,000 years are as one day, we read that in Peter, our Lord promises, surely I come quickly, is made clear. Given this proper understanding of His appearing long delay, the words of cheer should keep us on spiritual tiptoes. Does the hope of His soon return cause us to wait patiently and watch expectantly? Yes, you know, the story tells us the fervence of some of the wise, and maybe the other one was as fervent, I don't know, but these were really looking for their men to come home from sea. And you know, those of us that love the Lord, we should not only be waiting for His return, but we should be watching for it. He might come today. Maybe tonight. And what will we be doing? I wonder, are you witnessing to His coming? Are you working diligently for Him? Let's witness and work diligently and watch for His return. And the next thing about heaven that we want to think a little bit tonight of the future glory. And says in Romans 8:18, this present suffering time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The present sufferings that we have to go through in this life, and that's in Romans 8:18, and we won't look it up, but you look it up, and this one is about Dr. DeHaan, and I guess 16 years ago today, my father, Dr. M.R. DeHaan, a founder of Radio Bible Class, went home to be with the Lord. And then during the final days of his experience, physical distress that at times became almost unbearable, he could say in a special way with Paul, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption that is the redemption of our body. And a couple years after his death, my mother was leafing through a old copy of the Daily Breads and noticed that the following words written on the page for December 6, 1965, "The only way left is up, Mother. Now all I need is patience. Dad." Exactly a week later, he was gone, and in the same issue, my father had folded over the corner of the article. The way out is always up. He had underlined these words, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Yes, we have a future glory in heaven, far above all that the earth here can give us. So we don't want to set our affections down here on too many things too deep. We got to live and we got to enjoy ourselves, but we want to be careful not to dig ourselves in too deep here. Because if we're going to heaven, it's going to be a glorious place, far more than anything here. Are we in anticipation of that great day? And then thinking too of heaven, the next one that we want to think about is home on the other side. Home. You see, if we get dug in too deep here, we might consider this home. But if you're a born-again believer, heaven is our home. Memorial Day reminds us of the brevity of life. Happily for the Christian, it also directs our eyes heavenward, to where the saints rejoicing in glory await the resurrection of their bodies. Although the Bible clearly teaches that each individual's personality and memory survive death, certain cults mistakenly continue to deny this truth. Apparently disregarding, it says, 2 Samuel 12:23, and then we have Luke 9:28 through 36, Luke 16:19 through 31, and Luke 23:39 through 43, and 2 Corinthians 5:6 through 8, and Revelations 6:9 through 11. All them scriptures will tell us that we're going to know each other and that someday we will meet our loved ones there. Paul says that to die as a Christian is to be present with the Lord. Absent from the body is present with the Lord, which is far better. As we decorate graves and of our departed loved ones today, we may see a very flowery and beautiful symbol of their presence, bliss, and promised resurrection. A Christian who always had a secret dread of having to pass through the portals of death frequently prayed to be released from this disturbing fear. Finally, one night while walking past a graveyard, he found the deliverance he sought. Seeing a little girl entering the gate, he inquired, "Don't you dread crossing the cemetery alone, especially when it is so dark?" "Afraid?" the girl said, replied the child. "Oh no, my home is on the other side." "I'll see the Lord," he whispered. I too need to fear. I too need not to fear for the grim valley. It is but a momentary shadow. My blessed home is just beyond. The gloom ensouring him was thus lifted from his heart. As death passed in review before your eyes on this Memorial Day, remember Christ and your believing loved ones await you in glory. Don't fear the cemetery. Your home is on the other side. And you know, there's no fear when we know the Lord and when we are looking forward, when we love him and we're seeking to serve him. There's no fear to the other side because home is there. And we thought a little bit about heaven, and I hope you will, my reading and whatnot, but we can be absolutely sure of heaven. And the other side, that's where the Savior is, the one who loved us. And we need to be waiting and watching for his return and being busy while he yet tarrieth for those who not yet put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in anticipation of that glorious place that he's gone to prepare for you and I. And we need not fear death, because home is on the other side. Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse was going to the funeral of his wife. She died of cancer, I believe, and his oldest girl was about 12, and he had three others. And as they were driving along, this big truck come by him on this sunny day and cast a great big dark shadow over them. And he asked his oldest daughter what she would rather have happen, the shadow of the truck come over or the truck? And she said, the shadow, of course. And you know, in Psalm 23 it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's not the valley of death. It's just the shadow. And as we keep these thoughts in mind and we think about heaven, may God help us to live lives that are pleasing to him, shall we pray.